It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another great Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor. He's the life coach and counselor. Daniel, you were saying before we went on the air here that all the time people ask, what is your specialty? And you wanted to kind of get into that this week. How do you answer that question when people want to know about what is your specialty?
Yeah. What is your specialty, or they'll ask me, do you work with a particular disorder? And I tell people, whatever comes through the door. And I say that confidently, because what I've learned in the 30 years that I've been studying this and 20, 25 years that I've been in practice, all of these mental health disorders that you find in the big, thick diagnosis manual are really rooted in, very simply, in things like anxiety and depression. Anxiety and depression I see as a continuum. Neurologically, they look a little different, but neurologically, they're a continuum as well, I think. But certainly, mentally, they're a continuum. I think of, for depression is, I'm anxious about the grass. If it's 7-8 inches long, I get depressed about it when it gets 13-14-18 inches long. Mm-hmm. Anxiety is about failing, and depression is about internalizing a message of I am a failure. Mm. So it's more hopelessness. Anxiety is helplessness. Depression is hopelessness. So it's like depression happens when anxiety isn't dealt with, those kinds of things.
I was talking to someone recently, and they mentioned anxiety. Anxiety is also kind of based in stuff that's not real. Mm-hmm. It's you're worried about stuff that hasn't ever happened. It's not real. Mm-hmm. And so in some ways, that's what you've got to get real about, is your anxiety. You're worrying about things that have never happened.
Or things that happen in life and will happen again and again, the price of bread going up or something like that. And, some people are able to say, it's all relative, and that other people worry about it. But looking at those things and not thinking through the problem to the solution, and just kind of circling around in the problem, and not coming to any solution for it. And as we've talked before, and people need to realize, anxiety and depression, and we're just mainly talking about anxiety, but we've recognized that they travel together. And a matter of fact, there's at least an 85% comorbidity, which means 85% of the time when people say they have anxiety, there's a mixture of depression and vice versa. Mm-hmm. In fact, most of the time when doctors, come to me and say, I'm depressed, and I think, well, there's a lot of anxiety too, or they wouldn't be here, because depression, technically speaking, is a hopelessness, and they certainly have hope, or they wouldn't have come for help. So the worry about depression is anxiety.
There you go. That's the difference then between anxiety and depression. They are different things.
Yeah, and so that's why they say the comorbidity is so high, because people who are depressed with that, and they're not anxious about it, aren't going to go for help or even believe that help is possible.
They said that this anxiety and depression is like the number one health problem now in America.
Certainly,
the number one issue.
Yeah, and people carry anxiety without even realizing it. I don't have anxiety. I'm just irritable. That's anxiety. I don't have anxiety. I'm just anxious. PTSD. People say, "Well, do you work with PTSD?" That's a form of anxiety. That's just a form of anxiety. Well, what about OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder? Well, that's a form of anxiety. Hmm. Well, what about oppositional defiance disorder? Well,
I've never heard of that one.
That's the kid that can't behave in school.
Oh, okay, all right.
That's a form of anxiety. He's expressing anxiety. What about ADHD? Well, again, there that's a form of anxiety. What about sexual disorders? Yes.
Really? That's a form of anxiety?
That's a form of anxiety.
Okay.
Well, even the whole homosexual thing is a response to fear and shame. So those are all forms of anxiety.
You're right.
Disordered personalities. What about seasonal affective disorder? Yep. What about mood disorders? Uh-huh. Yeah. Anxiety? Sure. Anger? Right. Addiction? Yep. Thought disorders like hallucinations? And yes, same thing. Marriage problems? Yeah, that's it too. There are cases, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, dementia, where these are actually brain fabric breakdown.
Yeah, I would think there's more of a physical reason for some of that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But those aren't the bread and butter of the counseling industry. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking about like 99% of the people that come through the door are this other.
Yeah, you can't talk therapy your way out of Alzheimer's.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's a disease.
Those are actually. And so the problem is that the psychiatric and the pharmaceutical communities want to include all these other mental disorders in that same category, that they're actually physical diseases. And they've broadened the definition of disease to include all these simply so that they can sell drugs and that kind of thing. And that sounds like a conspiracy theory.
Well, you know, it kind of is. It has become more and more so.
Yeah.
And you really do, you believe that. You think that
absolutely.
Way
and there are a lot of very seasoned and credible psychiatrists that believe the same thing. And of course, at my website, I have Peter Bregan, who is
you mentioned
kind of one
him before.
That's championed this.
Mm-hmm.
He's either called the black sheep of psychiatry or the conscience of American psychiatry,
really?
Whichever side of the fence you're on. And so, the other thing is that psychosomaticism, a person can be depressed or be anxious and not find solutions, not work on solutions to the point where that actually becomes the anxiety, the depression, the hopelessness, the fear, and all those things actually become entrenched brain patterns. Negative thoughts can eventually become physical conditions.
Yeah, I've even heard sometimes a mental, depression and anxiety can cause real sickness.
Oh, yeah.
Cancer,
yeah.
Even, some
yeah.
of these things.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Even just loss of brain material, use it or lose it. And so they can, if I wander around and circle around in anxiety or depression long enough, and I don't go for the solutions, which, as we've talked in a previous show, are not easy, but they're actually quite simple. If we don't go after those solutions, and a lot of people would prefer the problem to the solution because it's comfortable, and we want the problem to be somebody else's fault. Magical thinking, I call it, or dream thinking. You know, even Christians a lot of times want God to have been responsible for the way life turned out. And, he dealt other people a better hand, and, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but boy, he sure done me dirty, and, he could have, instead of realizing, that life is an encounter with the purpose of God, and, God has a destination for each individual life, and a life of hope. Embracing the solution, but a lot of times people would prefer the problem to the solution. So these can become entrenched patterns, and they actually can become physical, to where if you go to the doctor, they will find something wrong with you. And a lot of times,
do you think doctors start to recognize that after a while? Somebody who is like got kind of a psychosomatic.
I think they start
What's it called? Hypochondriac.
They start to recognize it when they realize that they can't help. As long as they feel like they've got another suggestion. You know, doctors get tired of pounding the rock too, and I have clients, and I've had clients where they have legitimate concerns, and but they've just worn out a doctor. Because the doctor doesn't have the solution, or the psychologist doesn't have the solution, the psychiatrist doesn't have the solution. Not that there isn't a solution, and sometimes you have to shop around. I mean, my wife has had, and I'm sure any woman that's been through this stump has come to the same realization that, like, for example, all gynecologists are not equal. you find someone that that the gal finds someone that understands, that listens, and that actually has some answers. And then that becomes the person that I trust. And I think counselors are the same way. Not every counselor doesn't have every single answer for every single person. So I think counselors get worn out. Doctors get worn out. When they feel that maybe this person doesn't have an answer, then the tendency, unfortunately, is to discount it as unreal. On the other side of it, though, when people come for counseling, they need to be willing to follow directions. A lot of times, when counseling doesn't work out, it's because somebody might come to counseling, and as I said before, they without realizing it, they prefer the problem to the solution because it serves.
So, when you have a counseling time with somebody, you sound to me like you're very solution focused, kind of directive kind of counseling. You don't just let somebody just dump.
Well, we talk and talk, but early on in the session, I have pretty much an idea of where we need to go because I see things. Simply, not simplistically, but I see them in simple terms. And so I have a basic idea of the direction we need to go. And plus, Mark, I'm convinced by life experience and all of that, that the Bible ultimately has the solutions and our faith has the answers. And so when people come to me for Bible-based counseling, we're never far from the answer anyway, but a lot of times it seems, as I've said before, sometimes it seems too simple for people and they have a tendency to want to reject it or not, you know.
When somebody comes in, do you pretty much in just one session know what the problem is, or does it sometimes take a while to figure out what the issue is?
Yeah, knowing what the problem is not an issue. The issue sometimes is knowing how to pull that person into the process and build the trust and actually get them to start, you know, walking out of following instructions. That's the most difficult part is, getting people to, believe that they can change, that they will change, and then actually, walking through the process.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you are struggling, listening today, you struggle with anxiety, you feel like it's maybe getting past that into some real problems, some real mental disorders, Daniel would love to help you. His approach is, like we said, very directive. He wants to get you on a program that's going to get you healthy and whole and give you a sound mind. If people need help, Daniel, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, Bible-Based Counselor. You're going to hear this podcast, this radio show at that website, Bible-Based Counselor. The offices are in Edmonds and Kirkland.
BibleBasedCounselor.com. Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal, or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel Pryor, discussing this week anxiety and mental disorders and kind of focusing in a little bit on more his style, his specialty, if the case people come to you, Daniel, and they say, what's your specialty?
Yeah. And another thing people have asked, this came up a bit that in the previous, when people come for counseling, they it's a very intimate, probably unlike anything else, I think, other than having a physical exam by a doctor for the first time. Mm. It's very personal, and it's a unique. People come and they tell you things that they wouldn't tell other people. Maybe they tell me things that they would tell other people, but they tell it in a different way. They expect something else out of me. Mm. They expect care. It's hard to put into words what the expectations are. But they want understanding. So we were talking about how I'm a directive person. I'm directive in the sense that I'm not lost in the process. at all. I find people on the map very quickly, and then it's a matter of, you know, how can they be helped? Some people come very ready for help, and they just
want a solution.
They want a solution, mm-hmm. and they're ready to march, and they're and then other people come and they want to talk about the problem for a while, and that's fine. I let them do that, but there's a point at which I begin to introduce how to walk out of it. And there's a lot of repeating, because sometimes people will come back for, some people, aren't quite ready to change yet. And so
you're sensitive. You work with people, though.
Yeah,
you're not to say, I'm sorry, but I'm cutting you off. You're not doing what I'm telling you. So
no, I just
I'm quitting,
want,
I'm quitting
just,
you.
Yeah, I just want people to grow, because it's not comfortable being where they are. And everybody's walk is different. Some people, it's quite a struggle to get out. People have some very, very traumatic pasts, and you can't get rid of all of that
in one session.
That stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes some of that stuff will never go away, not entirely. You know, I have people with all kinds of trauma in their past, and there's things that bring these traumas back. You know, people that have been molested, for example, and then they go in for a doctor's appointment or something, and that all just brings it back. So, you know, it's just an application of God's grace and building confidence and finding new ways to think and that. But everybody's story is different. But I would say that I am both purpose and process oriented. I understand the process, but I also understand that the process follows the purpose. And so I'm big on establishing purpose so that the process makes some sense.
Okay.
Now, I wanted to kind of move on a bit here and with this theme about anxiety and mental disorders. And I started this off by saying, in a way, that, you know, you've got this great big thick diagnostic manual just full of things that can go wrong. But actually, it boils down to some pretty simple things. It boils down to in a word, anxiety, or we could say the emotional rupal: anxiety, depression, fear, shame, and anger. Those are all have to do with one another. And so we were talking about that, and I was talking about how that a lot of times people they're a little bit they resist the process sometimes because it seems too simple. And they think it should be more difficult. And so I wanted to come down. This isn't exhaustive, but I wanted to come down to something that's pretty fundamental. One key to underlying issues for believers and non-believers too is lack of understanding. Now, when we say understanding, the word understanding literally means to stand under. And we use the term understanding. We say, well, I understand. But if we really understand something, it changes our approach. Again, to understand literally means to stand under. And so if I understand something, then it changes my perception of that thing, and it changes my approach. So understanding life changes our approach to life, and it brings life into a different focus. Now, all Christians affirm God and affirm His sovereignty, but not all Christians understand God or understand His sovereignty. We know that we don't understand it when we don't use it in these times of anxiety and depression. Mm. And I have often had people, when I'm talking to them, and it's not, two folks, it's not that I'm just, I have a shingle up for mental health counseling, but I just use the Bible because it's easier and it all pays the same. It really is that the Bible does provide the answers. Mm-hmm. And I tell people it's not pastoral counseling. We're not talking about the Bible. We're talking about some fundamental basic rules and tools to get you through to grow in life. And not everybody, all my clients are Christians. But as Christians, we should understand that life already has a purpose. It's God's purpose. And so understanding that is a big part. And the lack of understanding is a big part of why we have these issues. Mm. It's true regarding our concept of Christ. And the church, think of how many Christians in marriage, so the divorce rate in marriage is over 50%, a little bit over 50%, same as in the secular world. Now, Christians believe that marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. So if we have over a 50% divorce rate, does that tell us something about what we know about Christ and the church? I mean, that should tell me we're pretty ignorant about Christ and the church. And in fact, I find that a lot of Christians do affirm Christ, but not all Christians understand Christ. Not all Christians understand the church. It's true about that, Christ and the church. It's true about prayer. So many people that are in these situations, and it comes down to, you know, we sort of like, you know, the issue of prayer becomes the elephant in the room when I'm talking to Christians, and we're going around and around and around, and I'm thinking, you know, as Christians, the first and foremost thing we should be doing is these should be matters of prayer. And so I'll say to the person, well, you know, do you pray about it? And sometimes I get a look like a surprise look. Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I pray, but it's sort of like, what's that got to do with it? It's so I know that a lot of Christians, they believe in prayer, they affirm prayer, but they don't understand prayer, because if they understood prayer, it would change their whole approach to their anxiety and their problems, because prayer would be their first medication. Their first go-to, because they would trust it. It's also true in marriage. You know, again, people believe marriage is a picture of Christ in the church, but, you know, 50% divorce rate or better, and I see people who aren't divorced. So every marriage that is still a marriage is not a successful marriage. And people, I think, fail to understand the purpose and the process of daily living. A lot of the things that we drive us up the wall are just things that happen in life. We want there to be. We want to say it's the devil attacking me, or you know, God is. You know, I have the life of Job. God is dealing with me. A lot of these things are. You know, they are an experience of God. They are an encounter with God. But they're the way life is. You know, I learned some years ago that God is not going to circumvent life for me. He is not going. He doesn't have a path for me around the troubles of life, because the troubles of life are what lead me to Him. Life is an encounter with God and with His sovereignty. He's not going to circumvent life just because we're Christians. We don't get a free. We don't get a pass on tribulation. And so the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. So this kind of disconnect that I'm talking about, not understanding or misunderstanding, I think is the source of a lot of our sorrow. And, you know, even when facing cruel death, the apostles wrote things like, count it all joy and rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. These men knew that they were going to die martyrs. I think Christ was very clear in that when he was sending them out.
Yeah, those are pretty amazing statements from people who could die any time brutally.
And might have been in prison with knowing very well what the end was going to be. They didn't just say those things to keep up morale. They understood. You know, Paul in Romans says, of course, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared, you know, to the glory that is going to be revealed to us. And so they weren't just trying to, you know, pump up morale. They really understood. So making the connection. Let's talk that just briefly about making the connection. We need to understand, not just affirm, but we need to understand that our lives are not our own, that they're plugged into a purpose, a divine purpose. We need to understand that the body of Christ is not an analogy. It's not enough just to sit in a pew and agree or raise our hands during worship. There's work going on in the body of Christ, and we are a part of it. We need to understand that marriage is not just simply a picture of something, but it's a virtue. It's a vital organ in the body of Christ. Your marriage is a vital organ in the body of Christ. Marriage is not your own. It belongs to the body of Christ. We need to understand that our children are not our property. They're our mission. And we need to understand that the process of life lines up with God's purpose, not ours. And that any other view is just going to bring us frustration.
It's going to bring anxiety and mental disorders.
That's right. So those aren't. This is not a Band-Aid. These are things I don't. And I when people come to counseling for me, I don't hit them with the Bible and mm-hmm. and just send them out. We
a process.
We talk about helpful things, mm-hmm. but underlying it all is this realization yeah. that there's truth here.
Things need to be back in alignment, and he can help you to get back in. Into an ordered life, a sound mind. If you're struggling with depression, anxiety, or maybe you know somebody who is, maybe they've gone to a number of people and nothing has worked. Daniel would like to take on your issue. I think he's game, and he's pretty much yeah. you take pretty much anyone who gives you a call.
That's right.
For the most part. Yeah. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. You're going to find this radio show there in the podcast, along with about 3.5 years of other radio shows. And the offices are in Edmonds and Kirkland. Yeah.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.